Sorry, guys.
Let me.
Wait. I'd like to call to order the call meeting for 10/16/23. We're currently in the Rockmart City Hall. Call that to order. Language, you do the invocation for us.
Oh, I'd be my honor. Father God, we just come to you and be so humbly grateful and thankful for today, such a beautiful day to be about doing your work, doing the work for Polk and Polk County as we try to provide safe and secure voting procedures here by the law and abide by things. Father, give us the wisdom to proceed and take care of any issues that come up daily, handle them very carefully and honorably so that our integrity as the Board of Elections and our elected officials are confident in what we were doing. Father, we just thank you for this time. Give us your wisdom and presence here as we proceed to take care of business. Jesus' name I pray.
Present today, Richard Long, Dr. Bruce Bell, Lane Boring, Stephen Walker, and Noah Beck. Now open this to public comment.
Okay, I'll be the spoiler for this really quick. So just to make sure that we're all correct, only one voter has been impacted by this issue and is. Right, that you know so far. Has, I guess, how has this worked on y'all's end to correct it? Has it already been corrected in the system so anybody voting today is going to see it correctly? Or is this a issue that it'll be tomorrow before they start seeing the ballot change?
So all of those questions will be addressed in the agenda item.
All right, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, let's change that. I guess I'm going to do it anyway, but I'm supposed to or not. Let's go ahead and skip down to Rockmart election if we talk about it, then we'll come back.
My apologies.
No, I should have realized. I would put it in a different order. So let's do that.
Cool.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's perfectly fine. This is an old agenda template because typically Stephen makes the agenda scores, and I did that really quickly. So are you good for that, Bob?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so this morning at approximately like 9:10, 9:15, I was notified by our Rockmart precinct manager, Rockmart early voting precinct manager, that a voter had informed her that the candidate that he saw for the ward that he lived in for the Rockmart city election was incorrect, that it was represented by a candidate for another ward. Upon further investigation, we immediately looked into it and found that two candidates had been listed on each other's races. These are the uncontested city council races for Ward 2 and Ward 5 for the city of Rockmart. As soon as I was notified, I immediately notified the Board of Elections, i.e. the special call emergency meeting that we are having now. I notified counties legal, I notified the Secretary of State's and the Center for Election Systems. The Center for Election Systems is the department of the Secretary of State's Election Division that handles ballot production, and it handles election project packaging, which is, in a long way short, the data side of what we do with elections. There are a few things that I want to clarify about how we got here, and then we'll talk about the steps that we are taking for prevention thereafter and correction. So we completed the qualifying process for the cities. Not all counties do that. Most of the counties do conduct qualifying for their cities, the municipalities within them. Polk County is one of those counties that do conduct qualifying. Mr. Stone, the candidate for Ward 5, and Mr. Robinson, the candidate for Ward 2, were duly qualified. Their financial paperwork, as well as their notice of candidacies, are correctly filed with the State Ethics Commission. They are filed and appearing on a ballot, and assuming that they vote for themselves, even if this issue hadn't been addressed, they would be duly sworn into office if they won the election by, again, voting for at least themselves. To put aside any worry, they are fine, they're on the ballot. They, being contested, will be elected by the people of Rockmart during this election. As far as the steps that happen there after qualifying, so they come in, they fill out a notice of candidacy. This is the main form that we use. It's the form that's disseminated to the public most often to address qualifying records, requests, and concerns. they did fill out that form correctly with the correct ward district on it. We then took that form and inserted it into Jarvis, the new voter registration system that also handles our qualifying process. They were correctly put into the qualifying window inside of Jarvis. And then thereafter, we created an office resource in-house in which they were also correctly identified on that candidates list. Had they not been, we probably would have been notified. We went back and checked our resources. They were correctly listed on that. All of that information gets transmitted up to the Secretary of State's office, and then it gets passed down to, again, CES, and the individual that specifically works on our ballot, and the data for it is called our ballot builder. I have spoken with her this morning to get an explanation as to how this happened. She misread a form, and she misread an in-house resource instead of the state-certified system in which they were both legally and correctly qualified inside of their district. That is unfortunate. There was not a typo on the form that we sent them. She originally thought that there was not. We have checked all of the resources that we produced. She went back and checked. It is unfortunate that she did misread that form, but nevertheless, the liability still sits with me and my department. When they complete that, they send it down back to the election office in a project package. During that process, the LNA, logic and accuracy testing, I'd complete a process called ballot proofing. I did complete the process for ballot proofing. We did identify three other mistakes when I completed that process and sent them back up for correction. Got those ballots back, and those mistakes pertain to a misspelling of a name, the use of a wrong name. So when they have the option to go by a more common name that they may be more commonly known as well as a name ordering issue. So it's supposed to be a descending or ascending order of alphabetization by the last name. And so they corrected those three things at that time. I did not notice there was the candidates placed on the wrong races. For the two ballots that had affected out of the 12 that we have 12 ballots. This affected two ballots. Those specific ballots are the ones that affect Rockmart Ward 2 and Rockmart Ward 5. We have two combos, so two groups of people that each of those ballots represent. And so it's the Ward 5 members that live in School Board District 7 and the Ward 5 members that live in School Board District 6, and then the same for Ward 2. So those four groups of people are assigned per ward to each of those ballots, and that's where the error has occurred. I should have caught it in ballot proofing. It is my error. There is no finite, fixed, hard law or administrative rule from the SED about sending those, and we have checked again with legal this morning, as well as some of our other counties and resources from the state, about having a process in place with municipal bodies in the county for them signing off on ballot proofing. We expect that to change because we are not the only county in this situation for having a city representative also sign off on the ballot proofs when there is an IGA in place to conduct the election. I should have sent it to the cities and also had them verify that their ballots were correct, and that would have prevented this mistake. They are much more familiar with the candidates that serve or the elected officials that serve those current wards, as well as the candidates that are seeking to serve those wards again. And so all that being said, there was an error on the Secretary of State's side. It slipped past us while we were catching other mistakes. And there were other preventative measures that will be taken in the future that weren't taken this time that are not fixed or finite in law anywhere. As unfortunate as that may be, and now we are left with a situation where it has transpired and it has to be addressed. So far, by my count this morning, we had 6 voters cast a ballot in the Cedartown precinct and 2 voters cast a ballot in the Rockmart precinct, one of which was a member of the community, another of which was a poll worker. And so now we are to the point to how do we address 2 things. One, those ballots moving forward, the individuals that will come and vote in that election moving forward, as well as the ballots that have already been cast. So if the ballot has been unduly cast, for example, they see a race, Ward 2 or Ward 5, or they don't see the correct name, if they vote for the candidate in front of them, that's not a true cast ballot for the person that is supposed to legitimately be in that race. If they use the write-in function and there's any way to delineate the intent of the voter, which would be the process that we would refer back to, it would then go to a duplication panel. In the case that we could not, it would be an undervote would be the response to that. The reason that it is inconsequential, however that process goes, is because it is an uncontested race. if you want to call it lucky in the face of a bad situation, with it being uncontested races, it's the best situation we could have been in if we were going to be in this situation. That being said, there is no consequences, but we will kick into a duplication process if possible for those. That is the advice of the Secretary of State's office. That is the legally prescribed process for when this happens. There is a provision of code for ballot errors. I read up on it as quickly as I could this morning to refresh myself and be aware, as well as reaching out to my state resources and county legal. Some other prevention measures are being taken. We have posted notice on both doors of the facilities in both Cedartown and Rockmart, as well as inside of every voter booth. And I have the language from that that posting now, and so I'm going to include that. But before I go on to that, I do want to double check with Stephen. Were there any Rockmart ballots cast in the Cedartown election?
Not at this time.
Perfect. The language in the language that was posted on the doors and in the voting booths reads as follows: Notice voters, the candidates listed for the uncontested Rockmart City Council races for Ward 2 and Ward 5 have been switched due to a Polk County Board of Elections error. Please use the write-in function to vote for the candidate you wish to elect. And then it lists the correct candidates against their correct ward. So then it says, for voters with the second ward race, Marty Robinson. For voters with the Ward 5 race, Richard Song. So by using the write-in process, we will be able to properly and without question delineate the intent of the voter in the case that it does have to go to a duplication panel.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
My understanding is that for a write-in to be counted, that they have to pre-qualify to be a write-in.
Correct.
Prior to the race. Neither of these gentlemen will have pre-qualified
as a write-in. So for its traditional utility, that is completely correct if they were being voted on as a write-in candidate. Instead, what we are doing is we are using the write-in space as a functionality instead of its true legal intent, its true legal purpose. So by doing this, we are able to tell the intent of the voter. If it will go to a duplication panel, just like if we had absentee ballots that came in on election night that were unclear as to what the or damaged, and we had to look at it with a duplication panel, which would be a symbol for this process as well. We would, just like on that panel, we would look at it and say, can we tell what the voter was trying to do here? For this, the reason we are shifting to using the write-in functionality is because then it would be clear that that individual intended to vote for Mr. Robinson or Mr. Stone without saying, well, they marked this name, but that's not really a candidate in their ward. So it's not voting as a write-in, it's not counting as a write-in, it is just conveniently using the functionality of the write-in slot. And that is the state prescribed process for that.
Were there any, in this particular race, were there any qualified write-in candidates?
No.
Okay, so if somebody chose somebody out of, say, Ward 5 and put that name down, then it would be disqualified anyway because that
correct.
Other person wasn't eligible anyway.
Correct. So, I mean, that's like, for if we have a vote for Mr. Stone on a Ward 2 ballot, if that happens, Mr. Stone is not the candidate, and so we can't count that. Or if someone writes in his name, and that's what we've tried to be as clear as we can with the posting inside of the voter booth, if someone wrote in his name, it also would not count because he is not a qualified candidate. He is not eligible to hold office in that post because he does not live inside of those bounds. So the write-in function is solely for the utility of it, the function that it serves. It's actually not in any kind of way associated with the write-in process. And you're correct, we do not have any write-ins for this election. No qualified write-in candidates that would count. We expect this to affect a very small volume of ballots. What I can tell you about moving forward so far is that I have received a new proofing project from the Center for Election Systems, from our ballot builder. It has been corrected. It is the correct thing. As soon as I sit down at a computer, it will be signed off on. When that happens, they will immediately begin to download the data onto hardware for me to then go pick up in Atlanta. I will go to the Center for Election Systems office in Atlanta, pick that up, and then we will begin to correct equipment as soon as I return. So what this means is uploading, just like we did during the LNA process, new voter information or new ballot information onto the touch screens and onto the tabulators. And so what this is going to do is basically make it like today didn't happen, the votes will be duplicated, and then duplicated onto an ICX. It will be voted on an ICX and then scanned into a ballot scanner. So there is no questionability about whether or not their ballot's counted. And then that panel will be conducted by this board and then representatives from the affected parties if they want to. So Mr. Stone will have the ability to sit someone on that duplication panel as well as Mr. Robinson. Duplication panel, as far as if we have to assemble it, will massively deal with whether or not we have volumes of ballots that are voted using the process that we've prescribed here today through the write-in process.
No, do you have an account of registered voters for each of those?
How many people are individually affected? Yes. Yes, ma'am. So they just completed a Rottmark redistricting award, so off the top of my head, I could swing at it. Stephen might be able to get a little bit closer. But typically, an award for Rottmark, I believe that there's several hundred people, maybe anywhere from 300 to 500 people in a given award. So with it being Ward 2 and Ward 5, we could be looking at 600 ballots that are affected when people may pull them. I cannot be sure off the top of my head a hard fixed number, but I believe that's a close estimate.
Jada, do you agree with the numbers that he's been?
Yes, sir.
That's pretty close, by my estimates from what I typically see.
There would be a control factor. We would know if there was something skewed.
So. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to be as brief as possible. So the ballot's getting corrected. As soon as we can update the hardware, the ballots will be corrected for people who come into early vote / regular vote.
Yes.
Absentee ballots, people, I'm guessing, are going to have to do a write-in like they would have.
Yeah, incorrect. So today would be the first legal day that we could send out absentee ballots. Those ballots will be reprinted and then transmitted back here, but only the affected ballots will have to be reprocessed like that. And so it's a very small volume of ballots, and it'll be a very small cost incurred by the county for the reproduction of those ballots. It's a very limited number because, for example, right now, currently, we only have 20 absentee applications in, a few of which are affected by this, but we have 3 days to send out those absentee ballots from today. Tatnall's our ballot printer, so they're one of the three licensed ballot printers in the state of Georgia by the Federal Election Commission as well as the Secretary of State's office. They will receive my new ballot file this afternoon, or as soon as I sign off on the proof, they will receive it from CES. I will place an order with them this afternoon, and then they will hand deliver those ballots tomorrow to be processed and sent out. So
essentially this only affects people who have come in and voted so far today.
If
they even
in those two wards.
Right.
And so far that's a person. But of course it could have snowballed. It could have been a much larger sample of people had the turnout been shifted differently. And so either way, it's an inexcusable mistake and it needs to be corrected as swiftly as possible. But as of right now, we are facing any kind of major logistical fallout for it. By my observation.
So explain again what is going to happen to those votes that were made prior to you being able to post.
No, that's a fair question, because that is the most tedious part of what will happen. And so I'm going to go over that beginning and one more time. So the ballots that are currently in both scanners, Cedartown and Rottmark, will be pulled. And then they will be observed, with no identifying markers. We are not going to try to witness who is cast that ballot for that name, by whom. But then they will go to an independent panel made up of four board members from this Board of Elections, as well as a representative from Mr. Robinson's campaign and Mr. Stone's campaign, if they so choose. Duplication panels are typically a three-person board. I would have no issue expanding that to five-person. And basically, it is a majority vote rule on that board that says, can we look at this ballot and then tell the intent of the voter? As soon as a majority of that board agrees, that duplication panel agrees, that ballot will be either taken to a paper ballot or to an ICX, both are legally prescribed processes, and then they will be witnessed, re-entered. So those ballots that are going to become spoiled ballots, the ones that were voted this morning, will then be duplicated onto either an ICX or a paper ballot, and then they will be scanned in as a proper vote. They will not be a provisional vote. They will not be an emergency ballot. They will be scanned in as a proper vote, a proper election day vote. And that will only be done by the people affected by the change. And so the duplication panel is just like what we see on election night for absentee. At that point, those other ballots will be marked spoiled, and then they will be kept in the election file with an incident report of what happened. More than likely, this will go to the state election board. The situation will go to the state election board. It goes to the state election board pretty often because it happens pretty often. The Center for Election Systems Office is grossly understaffed, and so right now Chatham County, Savannah is dealing with this, but on a much, much, much larger scale. And it happens frequently, so there's a legally prescribed process for it, and that's going to be that duplication panel in which we're observing the ballots. I will not be observing the ballots, but this board and members of those campaigns will. They will try to tell the intent of the voter. They will place it into some kind of duplicated ballot, whether it be a paper ballot or an ICX-produced ballot, and then they will be properly scanned in. The old ballots will be notated as what happened, and then they will be placed in the election file to be maintained for the next 2 years.
And the notice has been placed at the voting here in Rock Park, those explaining to write in the candidates you want.
Yes.
But yet, and I don't mean to cast any aspersions on our populace, but there are going to be some people who just don't get what you're trying to say, or it's just going to happen. What about those votes?
So that's a good question. And so this is if we this situation was going to be challenged in court, that's what gets challenged. Luckily, there's a lot of precedent and a lot of finding that if you can create a clear and concise message to the voter posted inside of the polling precinct as well as the voter booth to give clear directions due to a ballot error, that's that code section in the late 400s that I was talking about for the case that there is a ballot error, the responsibility to be able to understand those instructions and cast that ballot properly rests on the voter. The most recent situation that I can think of would have been right when you were first joining the board. It would have been in the race that Secretary Raffensperger removed from the ballot last minute in, I believe, the May primary of 2022 for one of the statewide races that's Public Service Commission. We were immediately sent notices by the Secretary of State's office and given instructions, concise instructions of where to place them. We did that. And while his decision to remove her from the ballot got overturned, his decision to place those notices for clear direction never did. That is a protected process that is prescribed by law. It's in the late 400s. I can't call the code off the top of my head right now. But in the case that there is a balloting error, we're obligated to immediately take any action that we can to resolve the issue, but as well as instruct the voters in the meantime for a process that is protecting them, like providing the instructions like we have. I believe that the sample of people that will be affected will be so small. I also do believe that we've instructed our poll workers adequately enough to address the issue if they see a voter check-in that is one of those affected voters. If they see a Rock Mart municipal voter in Ward 2 or Ward 5, they've been instructed that there's a special notice that pertains to the races that will appear on their ballot. And so we're taking every precaution that we can to inform the voter, and we can just only hope that they'll be receptive of the information that's being provided to them.
But ultimately, this is just for today.
It's just that it is for this morning, or the first half of today.
Worst case, best case. Best case, the machines will be proper this afternoon, tomorrow?
This afternoon.
Yeah. Best case.
Yeah, worst case
is
tomorrow.
Tomorrow
morning when the machines open, they will be correct.
Yeah, I don't know that. How would it be done this afternoon? Because
I'll go to Atlanta, I'll break my project, and then we would close half and half of the machines.
Voters that are voting in wards 1, 3, and 4, mm-hmm. will those ballots be impacted?
No, they will not be. So those voters are only seeing the Rock Mart mayor race that has no error on it. So that ballot is unaffected by this, because that's the only race that appears and everything on that ballot is correct. That is what I have so far.
I have a question.
Yeah.
The ones that are affected, the whole ballot has to be spoiled, right? Even though that Rockmore mayor race is correct.
Correct. So that's a good question. So, for example, on this ballot that we're talking about that's affected these two ballots, there are two other questions being posed to the voter, a question of the mayor and the question of the SPLOST. So when you duplicate a ballot, and that's just part of the duplication process, if one race brings into a ballot into question of whether or not it should be duplicated, it then consumes the rest of the races on the ballot. So when a ballot is duplicated, those other races get duplicated as well. There's the potential for a double count. The election results from this original situation, those will be stricken, the ballots that were affected. It will be copied for proof that this happened and proof that the resolution took place, but they will not be included on the report. Everything else will be new data put forward.
And so in that we will not know who the voter is, which is appropriate.
Correct.
Then we cannot inform that these impacted voters that their vote has been counted.
Correct. But their assumption would be that they placed it in a scanner and that it has been counted, and that will be what happens. Their vote will be.
I think by adequately explaining the situation to folks, that they'll understand after the fact that, yeah, we're taking the steps to make sure that your vote's being counted here. It's just not going to be counted the same way as if you just put it in the scanner and you're done.
Right.
It's now got to go through this process. And yeah, it's going to be counted, but it's got to go through this process to do it.
And again, this
the
is
the vote count.
Yeah,
will still match.
Yes, the vote counts will still match. The audited numbers will still match against the other pieces of equipment, such as the poll pads for voter check-ins. All of it will still match, except we will have a manila folder of spoiled ballots that represent what happened this morning. Because a lot of the rest of the data will basically start over at ground zero, and we will check that through that other data.
But any ballot that gets pulled before we load the correct data on hardware still has to be pulled out of the scanner.
Correct.
And observed.
So it's not a tiny thing to do, but it is there's a process
volume,
for it.
For this volume, it's a strenuous process. It's a very legal, tedious process. But for this volume, we're not looking at a major workload. We're very fortunate that it happened, how it happened, if it was going to happen. But to reassure the public as well as this body, there is a legally prescribed process that we are following under the advice of the Secretary of State's office. We've reached out, to legal counsel, as well as some other stakeholders in Polk County Elections, and they are all in agreement that this is the best path forward.
Well, with such a minimal amount affected, it's a good thing maybe it did. It taught us a lesson of
exactly
scrutinizing the ballots. And involving those areas where they are, that know the candidates, like you said. I think that's a very noble thing to do.
We hope that it'll be resolved. There will be updates constantly coming out. The next update with big changes, status updates, will probably come at about 5 o'clock this afternoon about whether or not that election project is being uploaded during the day or if it's going to be uploaded after hours. And then after we have our first ballot cast tomorrow morning, that represents the correct number. We may use a poll worker to do that, a poll worker that needs to vote in that election. We'll not have them pull their ballot and go ahead and cast their ballot to ensure that it's manifested on the back end. We will see it during the proofing process. I'll see it on the data side. But to be completely honest with you, I thought I saw it this first time. I was pretty confident. In it this first time. This is the first time anything like this has ever slipped past me. And so out of a lack of confidence, we'll be pulling at least a ballot tomorrow.
Yeah, and the LNA process that does occur tonight is publicly observable.
It's publicly observable. And so when we go and test the equipment, what we will do is we will set a test time for the City of Rockmart election precinct equipment at 6 o'clock, and then we will set a test time for the City of Cedartown at 7:30. At those times, we will conduct the LNA testing for both, As far as where that will happen at, it's kind of an odd situation. So we will create the data at the Polk County Board of Elections office prior to that. If people want to observe that process at 5 o'clock on election this afternoon, we will begin to create that media at the elections department, and we will do that up until 6 o'clock, until we go to, I believe I said, the Rocknard location first at 6, and then the Cedartown location at 7:30. The duplication panel that will ensue there and after will be scheduled for tomorrow. That will happen on Tuesday. That will give Mr. Robinson and Mr. Stone enough time to appoint a representative to the board if they want to. That process will begin at 5 or 5:30, whatever this board decides right here, right now. You are more than welcome to assert a time for that. But we do not want to be conducting election business probably at 5 in case there's a line. I doubt there will be, but in case there is. But also, we don't want to be conducting it late into the night because we want it to be publicly accessible. Duplication panels are also publicly observable processes that people are welcome to. Kevin, if you don't mind sharing that for the duplication panels, as well as the LNA testing of the equipment to reassure that it has been uploaded properly.
And we will have that at the...
It will happen at both locations.
No, the duplication.
The duplication panel will happen at the elections office.
Election office, okay. Anything else? Do we have any other public comment?
No.
Gentlemen, Jed, are y'all satisfied with this? We're very apologetic that this occurred. It's created trouble for you as well. But I don't think in the future this would happen again.
Yeah.
Not in any of our futures.
Yeah.
It's sitting here, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think you handled it very well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's unfortunate I have to be handled
well. Right. But we've resolved it and we have solutions. And we'll move forward to try to minimize anything like this.
When was this brought to our attention?
About 9:15.
9:15.
That's when I was originally notified.
I would like to have an executive session following tournament. Well, before tournament. Yeah.
For what?
Oh, thank you. I'm so distressed.
It's okay, Dr. Bell.
Yeah, personnel issues.
Yes, sir.
Personnel. Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, guys.